call the roll.
Call the roll.
Fish.
Here.
Saltzman. Udaly.
Here.
Fritz.
Here.
Wheeler.
All right. Could you call the first item and only item?
Item 452, accept the 2007 Regional Arts, Regional Arts Culture Council report on the Arts Education and Access Fund.
All right. Well, I think we've got kind of an unusual situation today.
Looks like they're ready to do a performance for us.
What are you kids here for today?
So these are the students from Boise Elliott Elementary School. We are PBS School.
I've heard that the Boise Elliott kids are some of the smartest in the district. Do you think that's so?
Yeah. I think it's so because my kid went to Boise Elliott.
Oh.
Well, we would like to thank the City Council for inviting us today and having us perform. We're so happy to be here. And we have two songs that we would love to share with you today. Is it okay if we start?
Please.
Wonderful. Thank you.
When my children were your age, they would not have stood so quietly. Very, very well done.
Carla? Quiet, huh?
Hey, Katie, if you're a kid.
Katie Robinson, right? And you're funded by the Arts Tax?
Yes.
Okay, we'll make a comment about that, yeah.
Madam President, before we say goodbye to these talented young people, a couple of comments. These are first graders at Boise Elliott Humboldt, and their teacher, Katie Robinson, is funded by the Arts Tax. How about that? So let's give the Arts Tax and the voters of Portland a big round of applause.
So I have a question. Is this just one class? I was a bit worried there. I know we've got tough times. Good job, everybody.
So I have a question for the first graders. How many of the young people joining us today, when they get a little older, want to sit up here in one of these chairs? All right. Well, we hope that happens. So thank you. Thank you, teacher.
And I would especially like to thank everybody for standing for the Black National Anthem that we sung earlier. I'm sorry I forgot. Well, and thank you so much, City Council, for inviting us today and having us here. We greatly appreciate you.
Okay.
Nathan, eyes this way.
Wow. So, Madam President and colleagues, it's that time of the year. It's the State of the Arts in Portland. And we want to welcome everyone that took time to join us today. We are joined by RAC board members, members of the Arts Tax Oversight Committee. We're joined by leaders of nonprofit arts organizations in our community, arts advocates, patrons, donors, artists, and the whole community of people that support art and culture in our city. And today is the annual State of the Arts presentation. It is a highlight of our calendar. And I want to invite forward Eloise Damrosch, the Executive Director of the Regional Arts and Culture Council, and Mike Golub, the Board Chair, for the presentation. Welcome.
Thank you. I was actually going to sing my remarks, but after being upstaged by the Boise Elliott Humboldt folks, I think I'll change my mind. Thanks so much for giving us this forum. We so appreciate the ongoing support we get from all of you. I want a special thanks to start with special thanks to Commissioner Fish, who's our arts liaison and a wonderful supporter and stalwart of the arts. Nick, thanks for all that you do in the community. Much appreciated. And you actually showed some rhythm moments ago, so thank you for that. And special shout-out to Commissioner Udaly. In your short tenure here on the council, you've been a wonderful supporter and really engaged with the arts community. So thank you. We're really pleased that you're on the council.
Thanks.
I'm very proud to chair the RAC board. RAC is a really unique and special organization doing some amazing things in our community. And relative to arts organizations, arts agencies around the country, we are unique in our impact and in our scope. We'll talk more about that later in our presentation. RAC was established in 1995, and over the last 22 years, we have given 5,000 grants totaling $44.3 million to artists, organizations, and schools in the Portland Tri-County area. We have also helped Portland and Multnomah County build a public art collection of more than 2,000 artworks. Each year, we engage with thousands of employees around the region through Work for Art, and this year alone, we'll serve more than 27,000 K-5 students in 68 schools through our arts integration program, the Right Brain Initiative. This next slide shows the City of Portland continues to be our largest funder and our strongest partner, contributing more than $6.3 million to RAC this year. And that piece is depicted in the blue section of the pie chart that you're looking at. The $6.3 million is comprised of $3.8 million from the general fund, $200,000 from business license fee revenue, $2 million from the arts tax, and $270,000 in percent for art funds. Even as the arts tax collections are starting to improve, the city's general fund investments shown in this chart have declined since our high water marks in 2010, 2012, and 2015. We are deeply grateful for the support that we get from the city, and our presentation today will illustrate how RAC is leveraging that investment for a more vibrant, prosperous, and equitable Portland. And we'll take a moment today to also discuss the challenges and opportunities facing Portland's art community. As you probably hear in this chamber often, money definitely facilitates so much of what we do at RAC. And RAC has been working hard in recent years to successfully diversify our funding sources and bring in more governments, foundations, businesses, and individuals to the funding table. Our workplace giving program, Work for Art, celebrated last year its 10th anniversary and raised a record $912,000 from more than 2,000 employees across 70 different companies throughout the region. As you may know, 100% of those Work for Art proceeds go directly to arts organizations, large and small. We've also ventured into special events to raise money. On May 17th, the second annual Battle of the Bands will be staged at the Crystal Ballroom. Commissioner Udaly has been kind enough to serve as co-chair, and Jamie Dunphy and Nick Fish's office has put together a City Hall band entry, the Copper Goddess. So we welcome all of you to come rock out the Crystal Ballroom on May 17th for the second annual Battle of the Bands. Additionally, RAC has raised more than $600,000 this year from businesses, foundations, and individuals for our arts integration program, Right Brain Initiative. And just like Work for Art, Right Brain Initiative relies on grassroots donations to make it work. For the fifth straight year, Right Brain was among the top donor choices in Willamette Week's Give Guide. As all of you know, we're looking at some potentially devastating cuts to the arts at the state and federal level. The Oregon Arts Commission is facing reductions that could reduce grants to Portland area arts organizations by as much as 30%. And although the National Endowment of the Arts was spared any cuts in this year's congressional budget, which is expected to be signed by President Trump tomorrow, the NEA remains threatened and marked for elimination in fiscal year 2018. If the NEA is indeed cut next year, it would have a dramatic effect for many local arts organizations who rely on NEA funding, including the Portland Art Museum, Portland Center Stage, and our very own Right Brain Initiative. We're working with our elected officials at the state and federal level to organize grassroots advocacy efforts to do our part to prevent those cuts from happening. And consistent with input that we received from the council in previous years, we are working diligently to gain more funding from support from Clackamas, Multnomah, Washington counties, and Metro. We invite your assistance in having those discussions with those jurisdictions so we can build a stronger and truly regional arts and culture community in the years ahead.
Could you go into that in a bit more detail, please?
Eloise, you want to talk a little bit more about the support that we've gotten from the other counties and Metro?
Yes. We're hoping to have an $80,000 previous cut that happened 6 years ago from Clackamas County to get us back up to $100,000. And I think for the first time in 6 years, it's looking quite likely that the chair will make that happen. Washington County last year gave us a fairly substantial increase to pass along to the West Side Cultural Alliance, one of our partners out in who does some of the regional work that we do out in Washington County, and they're getting an increase again this year.
What's the level of that funding?
They're up to about $135,000.
Thank you.
Before I hand it over to Eloise, we realize, all of us in the arts community realize that all of you face a very difficult set of impossible choices vis-a-vis the budget cycle this year between a lot of very deserving competing priorities. But given the arts climate on the state and federal level and the potential severe cuts that we all face, all of us in the arts community respectfully ask that you keep RAC's budget intact for the next fiscal year. Eloise.
Good afternoon, and thank you again for making time for a state-of-the-arts presentation. We always look forward to this opportunity to bring some art into your busy lives. I'm going to start with talking about grants. As you probably know, the majority of the city's investment goes directly into the community in the form of grants. This year, we're investing $4.3 million for general operating support, grants for projects, arts equity, professional development, and individual artist fellowships. Rather than going into these programs in detail, I'd like to invite three grant recipients to tell you their stories: Brian Weaver, Jeffrey Hiller, and Damaris Webb. So would you please come up and share your stories with council?
Thank you, commissioners. I'm Brian Weaver, Artistic Director of Portland Playhouse. We're a new beneficiary of general operating support. Portland Playhouse is a place where people can come together and share creative experiences in a personally meaningful way. And at a time when artists are being displaced, we're a success story of Portland's neighborhood system, and active participation from community-led from the community, including council, finding a path to keep this creative hub alive in the neighborhood about 4 years ago. So thank you for that. Through the Portland Playhouse general operating support, we've performed after-school programs at King, Boise Elliott, St. Andrew's Nativity, Da Vinci, De La Salle, Franklin, MLC, and Roosevelt High School. RAC general operating support helped fund Community Coming Together, a series of facilitated conversations about race and gentrification in our neighborhood led by Tanisha Jones, founder of Homegirl Consulting. RAC general operating support helped fund Christina Anderson's play Penmanship, August Wilson's How I Learned What I Learned, directed by Kevin Jones, founder of the August Wilson Red Door Project, and our current show, Julia Cho's play The Language Archive, directed by Adriana Baer. Why is public money for the arts important? Public money is important because it comes with the public's priorities. And as RAC chooses to prioritize equity, diversity, and inclusion, it is important. This is having a positive impact on the cultural life of our city. I'd like to share an email that Philip Wafula sent to a listserv of people of color who work for the city of Portland. My fellow peers, my name is Philip. I'm at BDS, and along with a few folks at over at PBOT, we recently watched the play Penmanship. It was simply amazing, maybe the best I have seen to date, and that is me speaking as a young black man that has watched many a production. Still, this hit home so excellently and is a must-see. The best part about it is it has such an intimate feel. I think the very essence of attending live plays will be an experience most of you will savor preciously, especially if you're looking for after-work activities that have the perfect balance of piquing your interests and entertainment. I found this email that Philip sent very moving, and it had a large impact on our audience 2 days later, which leads me to my closing thought, which is that sharing creative experiences motivates people to take action, to participate, and to grow our community into a place that works for everyone. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, commissioners. My name is Jeffrey Hiller. I'm a documentary photographer. I'm waiting for the photographs. I've been a documentary photographer for 40 years, focusing on place, community, throughout the world. Portland has been my home for the past 25 years. During my career, I've received 3 project grants from RAC. For example, I was able to produce a short film about local musician Obo Adi in 2006. My last project for RAC was about the people and places along the TriMet Bus 75 line that runs on the east side from St. John's to Milwaukee. I chose this bus line to show various aspects of hidden Portland, neighborhoods that are in the process of change but have retained their original old Portland character. This project took over 1 year to complete and culminated in a website and an exhibition in Northeast Portland. In addition to the thousands of viewers who followed the work online, the photographs were featured on the BBC, The Atlantic, and the Smithsonian. Without the RAC funding of $5,200, I would not have been able to complete this project. Most definitely would not have been able to complete this project. My team included a writer, a project manager, in-kind sponsorship, and various subject matter experts, including Jarrett Walker, who's a public transportation expert. Together, we spent well over 2,000 hours working on this project, researching, photographing, and interviewing passengers, businesses, and residents along the bus line. You can all do the math. What a great value to RAC and the city of Portland. Thank you.
Hello, City Council and Mayor. I'm Damaris Webb, and I'm grateful to be able to speak to you today about what RAC funding has made possible for me, especially in producing and directing local playwright Rich Rubin's new play, Cottonwood in the Flood, for last year's inaugural Vanport Mosaic Festival. RAC funding allows individual artists, as well as organizations, to share the stories that need to be told. Their investment in new work goes deeper than one production, acknowledging the importance that art making has in civic life and the health of our communities. My 2016 individual project grant from RAC made it possible to bring a new play from a staged reading in 2015 to a full production in 2016, using local designers and performers while growing grassroots community across the city. Cottonwood in the Flood followed a 3-generation African-American family's migration from Selma, Alabama, to work Henry Kaiser's shipyards here in World War II. In the story, they are subsequently washed into Portland after the Memorial Day flood of 1948 destroys the entire city of Vanport in a few hours. At its height, the true city of Vanport was the second largest city in Oregon, a truly American melting pot of 48,000 from 46 states. Yet it's a chapter of Portland's history that seems to have been forgotten. Cottonwood in the Flood offered the opportunity for former residents who are still alive, to be celebrated and share their lived history in post-matinee conversations. They engaged with local audiences, many of whom had never heard this history or only knew of the Memorial Day flood, and not the resilience and the importance of the people who lived there. Thanks to RAC and Portland Parks and Recreation support, our three-week sold-out run was presented at North Portland's Interstate Firehouse Cultural Center, historically an important artistic home to the African-American community. The production was featured as a part of the inaugural Vanport Mosaic Festival, which offered multiple entry points into the history of Vanport and for those who lived there, including a gallery installation at the firehouse that ran in tandem with all of the performances. RAC was instrumental to our initial success and has empowered us to offer even more through this year's festival, including new plays, tours at the former site, a workshop for educators, screenings of oral history documentaries, and exhibits. So please join us this May 26th through 29th. We couldn't do this without you.
Thank you very much. Congratulations.
Can I just observe that I had the pleasure of seeing penmanship live, and afterwards one of the actors came up and we asked, you know, what was it like performing the show? And the interesting feedback was it's performed in water. And so the entire cast is barefoot in water, and the actor said that over time the water got a little old. But it was brilliant.
Great. As part of our comprehensive equity initiative, RAC is now investing arts tax and Multnomah County funds in community-based organizations that are expanding arts access for marginalized communities. And you heard some of those kinds of stories just now. Last year, we awarded $120,000 in 21 arts equity grants, including the Instituto de Cultura y Arte, the Association of Russian-Speaking Compatriots, and Kukatonan Children's African Dance Troupe. A new round of arts equity grants will be announced at the end of this month, so stay tuned for great more news. And the applications each year have been almost doubling. In late June, we'll be publishing a comprehensive economic impact study to illuminate how investments in nonprofit arts organizations support the regional economy. We already know that nonprofit arts organizations in Portland spent more than $205 million last year on goods, services, and payroll. We're also working to quantify the impact of audience-related spending, because we all know that hotels, restaurants, parking garages, and retail outlets, not to mention babysitters, all benefit from arts organizations as well. So stay tuned for that full report. Public art, as you know, is an important way to bring artwork to all of our community free of charge. Here are some of the things that we completed this past year. With a modest annual budget of $40,000, RAC provided matching funds for 19 murals in all quadrants of the city. The program is gaining a national reputation with the help of the creative artists bringing their imaginations to walls all over the city. For example, the Woodstock Stakeholders Group envisions using art to revitalize their business district, and the artist team, Rather Severe, began painting three murals in the neighborhood last November. Stakeholders say their Woodstock Street Art Project is busy identifying more locations for all sizes and types of artwork on Woodstock. Paint Outside the Lines is a street art campaign that is a program of apt art, awareness, and prevention through art. This pioneering program, founded by Portlander Samantha Robeson, shares artistic experience with conflict-affected and marginalized youth. For one of their 2006 projects, they matched Montreal artist Kevin Lido with IRCO's Refugee and Immigration Student Empowerment Program at David Douglas High School to create positive messaging about immigrants' experiences. For the second year, we're partnering with Open Signal on nightlights. On first Thursdays, we project the work of local artists and university students on the side of RAC's offices on Northwest Gleason. Kalima Abayoto was our artist in residence this year with Open Signal, and you heard from her a few weeks ago when Open Signal presented to council, I believe. For the past 2 years, RAC has been pleased to work under the leadership of the community-driven Honoring the History of Williams Avenue Committee, which emerged from PBOT's Williams Avenue Safety Project. The committee chose artists Cleo Davis and Kayin Talton Davis to create artwork that honors the history and contributions of the Black community along Williams Avenue. These are two of the 20 signs and 10 tile murals that will soon be installed. There'll be a public celebration of the artwork on June 3rd at noon in Dawson Park, and we will dedicate new artwork by Isaka Shamsuddin that same day in the park. This map locates new projects in parks funded by the city's 2% for art ordinance, and I'm happy to see how well sprinkled they are around the area. One of these, River Garden by Lillian Pitt, was dedicated in January along the South Waterfront Greenway. This was another collaboration, this time between the Portland Parks and Recreation Native American Community Advisory Council and RAC.
May I just take this moment to thank you on behalf of Parks for all of those lovely artworks that are going, many of them into Parks, and we very much appreciate the partnership.
Yeah, and it's great being able to put art in parks that have never had, well, they haven't been a park or they're a park without art. So it's great. Thank you for your help with that. Our next big city project is the Portland Building. At long last, it is going to happen, right? Our lobby installation space will go on hiatus during construction, but will return to a prominent second-floor location after the construction's finished. Portlandia will get a thorough cleaning. The 2% provides funding for maintenance of the city's collection, and will also fund new artworks for this important public building. Now it is my pleasure to introduce Sabina Hack, who will tell you about her artist residency this past year in the Portland Archives Record Center.
Hi, Sabina. Hello, I'm Sabina Hawk, and my work explores the forgotten and lost histories in our communities. In 2016, I was the artist in residence at the Portland City Archives and the Record Center. I learned through the City Archives that in the 1980s, Portland annexed 140,000 people in the city's largest land expansion to date. As I interviewed community members, I discovered that annexation was a controversial battle, and decisions were often made without community input. The top-down process 35 years ago resulted in a lot of people being excluded from the city's policies of growth in East Portland. This work resulted in an animated film, an installation, and an image theater performance on 82nd Avenue in the Jade Apano space, and it also traveled to Open Signal on Northeast MLK. New residents in the area were not aware of the history of annexation, and they were deeply affected by its impact on East Portland. For longtime residents, the artwork provided an opportunity to preserve their own history and to foster those very important conversations about inclusion, inclusive policies, and creative placekeeping. The Image Theater workshop explored how the neighborhood identity has evolved in the last 35 years. At the intersection of 82nd and Division, the children from the Harrison Park School performed image stories with their bodies. What does it feel like to be excluded, and how do we find belonging? These young voices in today's community that spoke 20 different languages, yet they all came together with their families to express the true joy of what it means to belong in a place. 40% of all of our youth live in East Portland past the line of 82nd, and it is the most diverse and rapidly growing section of the city. This art project not only shed light to lost lived histories, but it also gave a voice to the needs and aspirations of this vibrant neighborhood and community. I'm happy to tell you that this project has received additional funding from outside sources as well as city sources. APANO and East Portland Action Plan are helping me to provide further programming to students at Madison High School, David Douglas students, and the youth builders in Lentz to explore art as a means of personal expression, civic engagement, and youth empowerment. Thank you.
Thank you, Sabina. Now, moving on to arts education, as you all know, the arts tax, and you saw this morning, the arts tax is now funding at least one art or music teacher in every K-5 school in Portland. RAC also receives a small allocation from the arts tax to coordinate technical assistance and other arts education services for these arts specialists. Region-wide, we're extremely proud of the impact we're having through the Right Brain Initiative. Now in its ninth year, Right Brain is serving a total of 27,500 students in 68 schools across the Tri-County region, 8,600 of whom are from 22 schools in Portland. So we're really getting this program out there. In these schools, teachers and teaching artists are revitalizing classrooms through arts-integrated teaching and learning, where the arts become the pathway for students to understand complex concepts in science, math, language arts, and social studies. In these learning environments, they gain skills as creative and critical thinkers, essential to the success in our ever-changing world. A public and private funding model makes it all possible and exemplifies the collective effort necessary to sustain the program. And we're so thankful to the City of Portland for being the largest public investor in this vital program. Right Brain's impact is recognized far and wide. At the invitation of the National Endowment for the Arts, RAC's Director of Arts Education, Marna Stalka, traveled to Washington, D.C. this spring to share the program's success with the National Council on the Arts. She was accompanied by two Hillsborough students who presented their stop-motion animation on the cycle of a cell that they created for a sixth-grade science unit on the topic. And now I'm delighted to introduce to you Essence Taylor, a freshman at Grant High School who attended Beach School from second through eighth grade and benefited from Right Brain throughout her time there. And it's so exciting that we finally have an alum of Right Brain who's going to tell us about her experience. Welcome.
Thank you, and good afternoon. As Ms. Damrosch said, I was lucky to have the Right Brain Initiative the entire time I was at Beach School, which was a long time. Some of my best memories at school were the days Right Brain artists came into my classroom. In third grade, we studied Ghanaian drumming, where I learned that each person's solo was an important part of the whole performance. That was terrifying. Then in fourth grade, I learned ballroom dancing, so now I can brag to my friends that I know how to waltz, and they don't. It was in seventh and eighth grade that my class worked with the storyteller Rick Huddle, who taught us how to create an inspiring story from our own lives and open up to each other. I learned so much about people I'd known for such a long time, and I learned so much about myself. The experience enriched our bonds with each other and created a community within the classroom, the middle school classrooms, that is. I also discovered my own voice, and that is a lesson I've taken with me, which has given me confidence that I didn't have before. My middle school teacher, Ms. Beck, deserves a lot of credit for being such a great teacher. She says it's because she learned so much from Bright Brain teacher trainings. And when she went to those trainings, we were really upset that she had to go. But when she came back, she brought new experiences for us and reasons to get up out of our seats and learn in an active way. For example, we would use Tableau to show our understanding of concept or event from history or language arts. Now that I'm at Grant High School, I'm so thankful for these experiences that have helped me come out of my shell. I would never have been comfortable speaking in front of a large group of people, and I would never have imagined that I would be in a theater class taking the lead in a scene we are studying and feeling confident every time we do Tableau, or that I would volunteer to be one of the representatives at Grant High School Black Student Union going to Salem to speak with legislators about the importance of cultural diversity in our curriculum, and that I would one day teach my ex-boyfriend how to slow dance the right way. Thank you for your support of the Right Brain Initiative, and thank you for listening. This experience today has prepared me for the speech that I have to do in history to a large group of ninth graders, which is probably going to be way harder than speaking here right now. So, thank you.
I think you'll do fine. Congratulations.
Congratulations. In addition to all of these programs, RAC continues to be the go-to resource for local artists. We provide workshops and other forms of technical assistance that help artists and makers hone their craft, learn new skills, and build their businesses. RAC also plays an important role in convening and celebrating artists and arts leaders. We've been partnering with community organizations like Portland Youth Builders, Apano, and YGB to play with new formats for our ArtSpark networking events, which are now attracting record numbers of new and diverse artists and creatives. Looking ahead, I'm pleased to report that we are enjoying new levels of engagement from City Hall in addressing some of the challenges that we face in our community. I want to thank Jennifer Arguzzoni in the mayor's office, Jamie Dunphy in Commissioner Fish's office, and Polly Ann Burge in Commissioner Udaly's office for helping us develop a shared agenda for arts and culture in the city of Portland, which we will be sharing over the coming months with our arts community. Equity is the number one priority for staff and board. RAC must find a way to distribute city resources more equitably and secure more funding to help us invest in the communities that have not benefited from RAC services in the past. I'm pleased to announce that we have just launched a new capacity building initiative for culturally specific organizations, and we'd love the city's help in providing more grants and technical assistance to the organizations that need it the most. We are also working with city staff to explore ways to preserve and create affordable spaces for artists and arts organizations so they don't get priced out of the central city. And I know you're all well aware of that, and really the time is now. Portland has long been known as a center for creativity and a community that values its artists. We must do more to retain these creatives and support the innovations that artists can bring to businesses and government. Artists are entrepreneurs and small business owners, too.
Mike. So no conversation about opportunities and challenges in the arts community would be complete without discussion of the arts tax. And as you may know, the Oregon Supreme Court held a hearing 2 months ago, the sixth and final legal challenge to the arts tax. Commissioner Fish and Eloise were present, and the city attorney did a terrific job at arguing our case. We are hopeful that a favorable ruling will be issued soon. Meanwhile, arts tax collections are improving incrementally, but even under the best case scenarios, the current construct of the arts tax will fall short of fulfilling the promise to the voters and investing in the arts organizations at the levels they expected. So we are actively searching for funding sources that can help fill the gap, and are expecting, and we're actually exploring the possibility of modifying the arts tax in a way that can raise more money more equitably through a ballot measure initiative in 2020. And obviously, we'll work very closely with Commissioner Fish and all of you as those discussions progress. Wanted to take this moment to recognize Eloise. This may be her last opportunity, at least in her current role, before the City Council. Eloise has been Executive Director of RAC since 2004, but it's been previous iteration of RAC since 1987, 30 years of service to the arts community. And it goes without saying that she has left an indelible imprimatur on the arts community. The arts community is in a much better place thanks to Eloise and her amazing contribution. So I want to take this public opportunity from behalf of the arts community, all of us at RAC, the board and staff, to publicly thank Eloise for your incredible service.
Ooh, thank you so much. And I want to thank you for not only your kind words, but your fabulous leadership. It's great to have you as board chair as I sail off into whatever's next. It's kind of hard to think about how you talk about 30 years of your life. But I've been so lucky to have a job that I've wanted to be in for 30 years and to work with this organization for so long. And, you know, we started as a tiny but mighty little bureau of Multnomah County in the city of Portland. And now, many years later, we're a flourishing tri-county nonprofit arts council. And because of that, we can expand our services and our opportunities across the region. And also, the nonprofit status allows us to be more entrepreneurial and create programs like Work for Art and the Right Brain Initiative that we really couldn't do if we were part of city government. And it's a way that, that we're leveraging the new funds that we've talked about often here. And you heard all about, you know, about those programs by now. I'm looking back to things I'm really excited and proud about. Raising the percent from 1% to 2% over the years, and thinking more broadly and deeply about how artwork can impact the social fabric of our city. And I think you've heard today from some of the people who testified and joined us that whether it's through a play or a visual art or a mural, we're partnering with people doing really important work beyond commissioning artwork, which of course is what we're all about also. So that's been a steady trend that I'm really thrilled about, and I think it makes art so much more relevant when you can see how it creates intersections among people. And, you know, who knew we'd ever pass an arts tax, right? I mean, it made us famous overnight in my world. And as we've already talked about, all is not shiny and bright moving forward. We must do something about the affordability of this community because we're watching as artists leave. They have to search for housing. They have to search for places to work. And dozens of arts organizations have been priced out of the Central East Side especially, and we have to help them find new homes. The equity work is vitally important as our city changes so quickly, and we are committed as ever to that, and we'll continue to do that, and I've talked about some of the ways we're working on that. And as Mike just said, government and business support is growing, but we at some point need to figure out how to fill the arts tax bucket.
To be fair, it's the first time this year that it's been included in TurboTax, and
yes,
much more easy to do. So I do think we are getting better as time goes by.
Yes, and I think the city putting some pressure on non-payers over the summer and fall not only brought a lot of the payments in, but hopefully made people think twice about just blowing off the arts tax. You know, it's not optional. And last and hardly least, I just want to tout the amazing staff that has built up over the years with RAC. We've had people come and stay. We've had young people come and contribute wonderful ideas and energy and then move on to other things. But this is a staff that's creative, they're committed, they're whip smart, and they're just delightful people to work with. And I want to thank Priscilla for helping me today, who is about to take herself off to graduate school in Europe. So we are sorry to see her go. And then, of course, our wonderful board, which is a group of incredibly talented, multifaceted individuals from all through our community. They're diverse, they're generous, and they're a wonderful group of people to work with, and I feel tremendously lucky.
Eloise, could the current board members that are here please stand just so we can recognize you at this moment? Let's give them a hand.
And may I ask staff to stand as well,
please? Yeah.
So many thanks. It's been a wonderful wild ride over the years, and I know I will stay committed to the arts community that I love. I can't possibly stop doing that. So thank you for all that you do for the city. Thank you.
Thank you, Eloise. Paula, how many people signed up?
I have three.
So
I have a question.
Yeah.
For me. So you mentioned about your efforts to get other governments to donate at them. And I noticed, particularly in the Right Brain Initiative schools, that those are spread all over the metro area. You mentioned Washington County and Clackamas County. How are the schools in Gresham being funded?
They, through the district.
So they are contributing as well?
Oh, yes. In fact, they were the first district to have all of their elementary schools participating in Right Brain.
Okay. So lots of those costs are through the public school districts. And what is the next step in terms of getting other jurisdictions, particularly the fairly affluent ones, like Lake Oswego and others that could come to mind?
For city support or for Right Brain support?
For the regional arts commission. It seems like Portland's taxpayers are picking up a lot of the slack, which we do because we appreciate the arts and because we recognize it's about jobs as well as about the wonderful things that art bring on a heart and mind level. And it would seem appropriate for other governments, other cities, to give you a commensurate grant.
Well, I think what has been happening over the years is that, and with our encouragement, I must say, that we encourage municipalities in the region to support their local arts organizations. So Beaverton has a long-standing arts commission that lives at the city. Lake Oswego has one. In fact, just about every municipality now has some kind of an arts organization to do the work locally. Mm-hmm. As we know, Beaverton is about to build a performing arts center. Sherwood built one. It's a pursuit that's a little bit challenging because of that, because we want them to invest in their locals. And it's been, frankly, a challenge over the years to get the commissioners, the board of commissioners, especially the outlying counties, to understand why their county money should come to Portland, even though it comes back to the county and we leverage other funds. So it's kind of a dance.
Possibly, as people do move out because it's less affordable here, those folks can help lobby their new governments to assist. And maybe, Commissioner, I'm wondering if we could get information on the addresses of season ticket holders at Portland 5 or, just to try to figure out who is it that's coming to downtown Portland to enjoy the ballet and the symphony and the things which really are a regional treasure.
By the way, that's a terrific idea. I'm assuming that your economic impact analysis will tell us a little bit more about our audience. Is that right?
Yes. And Washington County, I believe, is doing it also out there. And remember also that when we first started the first year of discussing the arts tax, we were doing it regionally. We had this monster committee of over 50 people, and it was so clear that politically it would never come together.
Well, that's why I'm wondering, when Mr. Golub said we're going to maybe do something else in 2020, it would be helpful to see if we can at this point do it regionally. The other thing I just wanted to mention briefly for those who are watching is that last year the mayor set aside $1 million in special appropriations, which a committee got to decide where to put it, and a grant did go to Milagros Theatre. It looks, certainly under the mayor's proposed this year, there's also that same pot of money. So arts organizations, get your applications ready.
They will. I'm sure they will.
Because, this city council, I know, and our community does value all of the work that you do, and just magnifies the other wonderful things that we have going for us in this region. So thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
So we have a presentation, but we have three people testifying. Okay. So if you could both resume your seats, we'll take the three people who signed up, and then we have a special presentation. Carl?
They are Paul Lumley, Subhashini Ganesan, I believe his last name, and Sue Pack.
Good afternoon, members of the City Council. It's a great honor to be here. My name is Paul Lumley, and I'm a citizen of the Yakima Nation and executive director of the Native American Youth and Family Center. And I have had the great pleasure of working with RAC for many years now, and can't tell you how pleased we are with some of the more recent developments, with the way they've been including communities of color in arts throughout the whole Portland area, with murals and artists. It's just been wonderful. The most recent event we have with RAC is they had opened their doors to my organization's Native Family and Friends Night, and when they did so, I was so pleased to see so much of the Native community come out and fill their offices in a way that was so warm and welcoming by the RAC staff and the community. It was just an amazing experience. I've also been able to see how RAC has expanded in their equity and inclusion platform throughout the city, and I very sorry to see Eloise Dombrose retire. She's been a wonderful friend. She has carried herself with courage and conviction, grace and elegance, and really cares about the community that she serves. And so that's one of the reasons why I'm so disappointed to see her retire, but so happy to hear that the community does still embrace her. Now, as the chair of the Coalition of Communities of Color, I also want to say that I hope that whoever is selected as the new executive director, they continue to carry on the great work that they've started with equity and inclusion. We'll be watching from afar and hoping for good work in the future. We stand here in strong support of RAC and also in partnership with the city and hopeful that they receive full funding now and in the future. Thank you very much.
Thank you, commissioners, for this opportunity to speak with you. As an immigrant from Singapore of South Asian descent, as an artist who practices Bharatanatyam, an ancient dance form from South India, as an artistic director who uses my foundation in Bharatanatyam to produce contemporary and accessible performances, as a teaching artist through the Right Brain Initiative, as an advocate and avid supporter of multicultural, multidisciplinary, multi-genre emerging performing artists in our city, and as the founder, curator, and manager of New Expressive Works, often called New, on Southeast 8th and Belmont, a fully accessible, intimate performing arts venue, I'm pleased to address you. My 75-seat intimate performance studio has from day one been aligned with community needs and values. We continue to meet the growing needs of independent performing artists to provide diverse, inexpensive, artistic experiences for thousands of local audience members. Culturally specific artists in Bharatanatyam, Japanese taiko, Ghanaian drumming, Argentine tango, and belly dance thrive in NU. The Disability Arts and Culture Project and Zaftig Dance, who nurture body positivity, call NU their home. And a unique intensive urban residency program since 2012 has offered 32 choreographers free rehearsal space, modest stipend, and a culminating weekend performance. RAC has stepped in and helped me both as an artist and as an arts administrator. Through project grants and the cultural leadership program, RAC provides their maximum support and strength to NU. As real estate prices rise dramatically, squeezing artists out of the city, RAC continues to provide what they can, pro bono expertise to help me negotiate commercial real estate leases or city and county permits and real estate tax issues. The list goes on. I'm grateful to RAC. The 200 independent performing artists and 5,000 audience members who annually benefit from news programming are also very grateful to RAC. However, my building owners are guided by financial imperatives. They appreciate, but ultimately cannot be interested, as you, in the cultural imperatives of our city that my space is meeting. It seems clear that at this time of our nation's history, different voices need to be heard. Different racial voices, different ethnic voices, different religious voices, different gender voices, and different ability voices. And art is a way for these voices to be heard peacefully and positively. Thank you.
Thank you. That was beautiful. Would you tell us your name, please?
Subhashini Ganesan.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I
always forget that.
I know. Oh, okay. What would you do?
So now we will vote to accept the report.
I move the acceptance of the report.
Second.
And I request that Commissioner Fish please go last.
Saltzman.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you for the always uplifting report from the Regional Arts and Culture Council. And thank you, Eloise, for all your years of service. It's very impressive, and I wish you the best for what's next. And I just want to say that's really, I'm very impressed with the depth and the caliber of artists and performing artists and theater groups in the city. I'm constantly amazed how many organizations the city and its residents and residents of the region support. It's very impressive for a city our size. I think we rival some of the bigger cities, certainly the Chicago's and Seattle's and I won't say New York, but nothing rivals New York. Yeah. I'm very impressed with the depth of artistic talent and expression in our city, and very pleased to be a part of this and happy to support you. Aye.
Fritz.
I also really appreciate, especially the emphasis on equity and broadening the benefits to the